Well, we do have breaking news in terms of the cell phone hacking scandal. It appears Rupert Murdoch and his executive team are taking some swift and decisive steps in recent weeks to try and make the scandal go away. The tabloid News of the World was shut down pretty quickly after the recent allegations. And then this morning, Times of London assistant editor Rebecca Brooks resigned. Murdoch even agreed to appear before Parliament after his initial refusal. But instead of dying down, the furor is actually growing. Yesterday, the FBI opened an investigation into whether News Corporation employees tried to hack into the accounts of 9/11 victims and their families. That probe was prompted by a call from Representative Peter King, a Republican from New York, and he's chairman of the Homeland Security Committee. Our partner, the BBC, spoke with Democratic Representative Bruce Braley yesterday about the investigation.
The fact that my Republican colleague, Peter King from New York, who is chair of the Homeland Security Committee, a very important committee here in Congress, has also called for the FBI to conduct investigations into these allegations is a clear indication this is not a partisan witch hunt. It's part of Congress's desire to protect the privacy rights of American citizens from unlawful interference.
Joining us now, Bob Henley, reporter for WNYC Radio and co-producer of The Takeaway. And also with us this morning, Joyce Pernick, a former New York Times editor and columnist and the political analyst for WNYC Radio, a co-producer of The Takeaway. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Bob, maybe you can update us on what's happening with the FBI investigation. I mean, one can't help but, despite what Democratic Rep. Bruce Braley said there, think that perhaps the FBI's opened an investigation only because of political pressure, not necessarily because they have any evidence.
You mean because of the $1 million News Corp gave the Republican Governors Association? No, I think that if we go back and look at actually Peter King's letter, it's instructive. And he cites here recent reports that journalists working for the News of the World, this is a quote, solicited a New York police officer to gain access to the content of private phone records of 9/11 victims from the days leading to the attacks. Now, what I've been able to run to ground is that this originated in the Mirror, a competitor to Murdoch over in England. And the allegation was that a former NYPD officer, now a private detective, was approached and did not go through with it. So that's really what their biggest exposure right now is, the potential of being cited for violation of something called the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which was passed in the wake of Watergate, which holds U.S. multinationals like News Corp responsible for the behavior of the subsidiary. So the payment, alleged payment of some $160,000 over the arc of the scandal to Scotland Yard detectives to get information over there, if it has a tie to the United States, does have a considerable exposure for the Murdoch Empire. I mean, settlements of these things can run into the hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's Bob Henley, a reporter for WNYC Radio, and also with us, Joyce Pernick. Now, Joyce, you actually worked at the New York Post. The New York Post is one of the papers that the News Corp owns here. You were the political reporter there, and you were there when Rupert Murdoch bought that paper in 1976. Can you tell us, were there immediate changes in the way that business was conducted after Murdoch owned the paper?
Oh, boy, where do I begin? Yes, the answer is yes, most definitely yes. Overnight, the paper changed. It was kind of a serious tabloid when I was there, the old Post, with serious reporters and editors, and overnight it became sort of a Fleet Street operation. And editors were brought in from England and from Australia, and in terms of its politics, which was had most of the impact in the city, I mean, the paper was kind of turned over to Ed Koch. In 1977, he was running in a large field of candidates for the Democratic primary for mayor. And, of course, in New York, pretty much if you win the Democratic primary, at least in those days, you got the office, the job. And Murdoch decided that Ed Koch was his guy, and that was that. I mean, the paper was filled with stories and exaggerated, if not phony, polls and photographs of Ed Koch and Bess Meyerson, who was his main supporter at the time. And that's what happened. And you just better find a way to make it work for you if you were in that environment.
Surely, we're speaking with Joyce Pernick, a former New York Times editor and columnist and the political analyst for WNYC Radio, but who worked at the New York Post in 1976 when Murdoch bought the paper. Joyce, surely Rupert Murdoch wasn't walking around the paper telling people what stories to write and encouraging them to write, I guess, nice things about Ed Koch.
Well, in fact, he did often come into the newsroom in the early morning hours before the paper went to print and make changes. But no, of course, he didn't personally go around and say, here's what you write. And in a very interesting way, he never touched my copy, and his editors never touched my copy. I was basically the chief political reporter, and I had a reputation in New York, and it was a pretty good one, and for integrity. And I think I was sort of there. I used to say I and other serious reporters at the paper, political ones, were, you know, they're fig leaf. They could say, we're honest. We play it straight. Look at what Joyce wrote. Look at what Mike wrote. But it didn't matter what we wrote because we were surrounded by propaganda for it. Gotch. You know, there were all those photos, and there were all those poll stories, and there were all those headlines, and there were all those. It didn't matter. It didn't matter, you know, that somewhere in the back of the paper or in the middle of the paper, I had a short story that was perfectly legitimate. Didn't matter. That's the point. It was the paper had become a propaganda tool.
A propaganda tool, but not necessarily, to your knowledge, anything illegal even going on now. I mean, what they're talking about in Britain are allegations of actual law breaking.
There's no evidence, certainly not in those days, and there's no evidence that I know of the kind of tactics that we know about in England. Nothing like it. It's a different culture here. I think that the Post and other Murdoch properties push the envelope. Fox News distorts like crazy, but hacking phones and these other tactics, I'm not aware of those. I would be very surprised, frankly, if we heard that was going on here.
Joyce Pernick is a former New York Times editor and columnist, the political analyst for WNYC Radio, which is co-producer of The Takeaway. Joyce was at the New York Post as their chief political reporter when Rupert Murdoch bought the paper in 1976. Also bringing us the update, Bob Henley, reporter for WNYC Radio, a co-producer for The Takeaway. Bob and Joyce, thank you so much. Just to refresh the headlines this morning, if you didn't hear overnight, Rupert Murdoch and his son James have agreed to appear before the Parliamentary Select Committee. And just breaking this morning, Rebecca Brooks has resigned. She is the Times of London assistant editor, although it appears that she's still going to be expected to appear before that same Parliamentary Select Committee, even despite her resignation.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.